الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحميد الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Ulama, elders, brothers, and sisters of Islam for listening, the live streaming. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Firstly, on behalf of Anka Astari, we would like to say Jazakumullahu khairan, as we have mentioned earlier, to the brothers who have given us the opportunity, brothers of Free Tower, and the Free Tower of Masjid, allowed us the opportunity to utilize the Masjid. We can take up this program and also to thank all the brothers that have come from far and wide, from different places. And all of you must have physical faces who are sitting here. This is a clear sign of your iman. You have put iman within the recesses of your hearts. This is why a person has come, he comes to the masjid, comes to a deen program, shows he has got concern for himself, he wants to better himself, he wants to become a better Muslim, and he wants to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very, very great time. Thirdly, we would like to humbly request all the brothers, as you might have heard, that our honorable and respectable Sheikh and Ustad, spiritual mentor, Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Khalifa, Ram Barakatuh, one of the senior ulama of South Africa, he's not very, very well at the present moment, so he is requesting humbly, which one and all should make dua for him continuously, daily our dua, should make dua, and for all our other shuyukh, all the other mashayikh, all the other ulama who are serving us. We should make dua continuously for them. Comment by one car, white parking. The registration CA639291. Just, if you can please remove the car, it's blocking some other cars. There should not be any. Photographs taken in the masjid. This is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which should keep the sanctity of the masjid in place. We should not take photographs to us. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a very, very severe warning. And the house of Inna ashad al-Nasi adhaba yawm al-Qiyamah al-Musawwirun. The person who will be the most severe punishment on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of judgment, that those who take photos. And in the masjid, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy the sanctity and the honor of the masjid. It's completely not incorrect. So we should keep abstain from taking any photographs at all times, and more so in the masjid, like you are saying. So now we will discuss, we will have two programs now. The first program, very, very briefly, what is this Islami Jalsa, we can see the Moses, and what is the object of this Islami Jalsa, this Jalsa for our Islam, for our Reformation. So this Islam Reformation is nothing new, it is from the Quran. And in his ayat, which I have recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us, what should a person do? And what benefit will a person get? And what are the things which are stopping a person from making his Islam and Reformation? It's very, very basic, inshallah, in the next half an hour or so, we'd like to discuss. So firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the benefit of making Islam, reforming oneself or bettering oneself. See, we are all Muslims, we have been born as Muslims. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that the quality of the believers are وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. At all times, they are continuously purifying themselves. Not that I'm a Muslim now, I'm okay. But every one of us, we have to continuously improve ourselves, better ourselves. Our Sheikh, Ram Barakatuh, mentioned that there are three types of believers you get. The first type is called Talib, according to Talib, a seeker. A person wants to better himself. This is the first category who is called a Talib. Then, he is a person who is always trying, I must become a better Muslim, I must become a better human being, I must purify myself, I must become a better person. So this person is young, he has brought the speaker and concern only himself towards progress. So we have a second person. Then the second category and group of people you get who is called Qani'. Qani' means somebody who is happy. Me, I'm a good Muslim. I don't have to become better. I don't have to correct myself. I'm happy with myself. I'm a very good Muslim. If the religious Jamaat is walking and they come to our house, see, don't come to me. Go to the other people, they are for Islam. Me, I didn't do a good time Salah today. I did my 3 times Salah today. After week, I did my Jumaat Salah. Don't come to me, I'm okay. So this person is called Qani'. And then you get a third kind of person who is called Naqib. Naqib is the one who is a critic. Always criticizing, he only finds faults. He can't see any goodness in any person. Always looking for faults in people, trying to break up people. So the first group, first category is Qalib. Inshallah, that person will continue going up and up. The example is like a ball which you throw up in the air. And as long as you are pushing air behind it, it will continue climbing up and up and up. So this is the type of people we must be. As long as you want the speaker and concern within yourself, you will continue progressing up and up and up. But the minute you say, I'm okay, I'm a good Muslim, I don't need to change myself, I don't need to better myself, then you become the second group which is called Qani'. Qani' means I'm happy now. Just like a ball which is going up now, and it's stopping there. And there's no air coming in the bottom. So what will happen to the ball? Will it stay up there? What will happen to the ball? Automatically it will start coming down. So a person who is happy with himself, I'm a good Muslim, that person automatically will start coming down, will start falling. He never remain as he is. But he will become worse and worse and worse. And the worst category of person is a fallen naqib, a critic. He is like a ball which is taken and pushed underground. It's of no benefit at all. It goes right under the ground. So Allah save us from the last group, we never have to make us a naqib, critic. And He save us from the second group also, that we are happy where we are. So we must become of the first group when we are always progressing and must become a better person. So this is what Islam is, what the Jannah is for. That how can every one of us look into our lives, into our heart, and see I've got many, many weaknesses and I have to better myself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayat of the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. If you purify yourself, then you are 100% successful. You are successful. The whole world today, people are looking for success. Every single person is looking for success. And many, many people, unfortunately, are looking for success in the wrong place. For example, some people feel money. If I call not money, I'm a successful person. If money was a cause of success, then why is it that those people who are living in the richest countries in the world, they are committing the most amount of suicide? If that was success. And the people who are living in the poorest countries of the world, there's no very few suicide cases you will get. So money is not something of success. This is a very big deception. That a person feels, I've got money, I'm a successful person. Allah Ta'ala says, no, that person is, he doesn't say, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَمَوَّلَ. A person who's got a lot of money, he is a successful person. A person who is handsome, beautiful, that person is successful. No. If those people who are beautiful or successful, they shouldn't be running always to the beauty parlor trying to make themselves more beautiful. And every person looks in the mirror and says, I'm not perfect. And this is also another big deception, because unfortunately, watching television, reading magazines and books, whichever, when a person looks at that, it's a deception, it's a lie. So when we are reading these books, we want to become like those people, we want to look like those people. So the woman looks now at the church and says, hey, I wish I was looking like this woman. So no matter how beautiful she is, she will never thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for beauty. She will always find herself, I call this, I look ugly, I don't look nice. She'll never be happy in her life, no matter how beautiful she is. She'll go for this operation, that operation, but she's not happy, she's not successful. So what success is there? True success, Allah says, is a person who purifies himself, who cleanses himself. And what must a person cleanse himself from? You want to get success in this world? It's not in beauty, it's not in wealth, it's not in position, name and fame. Otherwise the prime ministers and the kings of the world, they wouldn't be having headaches all the time. They wouldn't be taking drugs. They can't sleep at night. I don't have a proper night to sleep. I need tablets to sleep. All the rich people of the world, big prime ministers, they wear their crown in their head, they always got headaches. This is not success also. And if you look at the royal families of the world, every time that you get something in the newspaper that one of them committed suicide, one of them tried to commit suicide, they are drinking alcohol. Why does a person drink alcohol? It's not happening in them. This is not success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of Nyanallah and what is success. So Allah says, but afla aman tazakka, successful indeed, 100% successful, is a person who purifies himself. I will just mention a few things which we can change in our lives. There are many, many aspects. And that is why a person, his whole life, is to continue bettering himself, becoming a better Muslim, and how can a person call change in his life? Shall I go mention a few aspects? How can a person purify different aspects of his body, of his life, of his heart, and you will see what a change will come into his life. The first and most important aspect to purify is our aqidah, our beliefs. What beliefs do I have? Remember, if a person has got iman, he's got the greatest gift in the world. And if a person hasn't got iman, he's got the world, in the world, he's got no value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One person was walking before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, what do you say about this person? He said, oh Nabi of Allah, this man, he is a very tough person. He goes anywhere and he proposes, then give him the promise. If he intercedes on behalf of anybody, he'll accept his intercession. He says, no, whatever he says, 100%. If he has to speak, everyone listens. He's a very tough man in society. But he didn't help iman. And the reason allows him to keep quiet. After a while, another person walks past. Very, very poor person. Nobody in society, but he's got iman with him. So the reason allows him to ask, what do you say about this person? So let me ask this man here, if he goes for a proposal, no one will ever accept him. If he speaks, no one listens to him. If he intercedes on behalf of somebody, no one will accept his intercession. And he said, Allah has said, Allah, this man is better than the whole world full of that person. He's got money, he's status, everything, but he hasn't got iman. So the first and most important thing is our iman. And every one of us must check whether our iman is correct. Today, unfortunately, the enemies are making great, great effort. We should look to our own lives and our own children also. Many of our children are going to school. And in school today, our theory of evolution is being taught. To grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, it's not my children. They are going to school and they've got three minds, empty minds. And they are learning this belief of kufr, complete kufr in this belief. And the teacher is a Muslim teacher and he's teaching the students that we were created from a monkey. The world came to existence by a big bang. The minute the teacher says this, he loses his iman. And the child who has got that belief, he loses his iman. It's like the teacher is teaching in class with Christ, and has believed in Jesus Christ. So he loses his iman. So if the teacher is teaching the children this, the child loses his iman also, and the teacher loses his iman. So we should be very, very careful what our children are learning in school. Today, unfortunately, many people are making great effort to speak ill of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. The person has got one doubt about Sahaba radiallahu anhu, his iman has been lost. So we should be very, very particular our iman is correct. So this is the first most important thing we have to clarify our aqidah and our beliefs. And the more a person will clarify his beliefs, and his iman will become stronger and stronger, the more enjoyable a person will, enjoyment the person will have in life. If somebody passes away in our family, a Muslim got this belief that this person is inshallah is going to a better place, he's going to ascend and towards after that. Allah is taking him away, Allah knows what is best. He feels happy in his heart. If a non-Muslim passes away, the person now, he doesn't believe in something, he doesn't believe in predestination, he doesn't believe in the life of the after. So there's no happiness in his heart, he loses his mind. Why do people suffer depression? Because they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well as they believe. If a person knows Allah is bigger than me, my road is coming from Allah, my actions are from Allah, side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, conditions come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person can never suffer depression. But we have not corrected our belief structure, and we're still putting things, and we are believing in as bad and mean. At that time now, whatever problem comes to a person, he has a familiar. He is going into depression, his mind can't sleep at night. So this is the first thing we have to correct ourselves, our aqidah and our beliefs. So this is the one aspect which we have to correct. The second aspect, which Allah Ta'ala says, فَتَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Successful indeed is a person who is purified. A person who purifies his eyes and his prayer path. Today the enemies have made great, great efforts in the whole world. They have encouraged people to fulfill their desires, how they want to, when they want to, or whosoever they want to. But Allah Ta'ala says, don't be successful. If you think you can fulfill your desires everywhere, like the animals, Allah will, you'll never get enjoyment in this world. And if a person looks after himself, Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Or he said, Allah Ta'ala says, tell the believers, they must lower their gazes. Lower your gazes, look after your eyes. Now we know all of us how difficult it is in today's time to look after one's eyes. Allah has promised, if a person purifies himself, he purifies his eyes, he doesn't look at haram, he doesn't look at wrong things. It's very, very easy today to open the internet and a person goes to a false site. It's just a press of a button. And it's so easy and so simple. And how many people get involved in it? But that person, he feels that successful, I'm enjoying myself, there's no enjoyment in that. La verità è che se successful il person is, he will purify his eyes. How, what benefit will a person get? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, La taznu fatadhhaba ladnatu nisaikum. Do not adulterate, do not commit adultery, do not fornicate, do not commit zina. Otherwise, the enjoyment of your woman will be taken out from you. You won't get any enjoyment from your own woman. You are fornicating with your eyes. What is the actual action? The actual action of fornication, a person does fornication. He never ever get enjoyment in halal. He is going towards haram. Outwardly, he thinks I will get some enjoyment. It's a deception. He will never ever get enjoyment in his life. For a short while, for a few seconds, he will get some enjoyment. But all the time in the bottom of his heart, what if I get caught? What if something happens to me? The person's life will be a misery. And always, the person must be climbing out. Now, see my pride, see my blackmail, that person. He's living a life of misery. But the person who protected himself, he looks after himself, he lives a life of honor and respect. Well, I'm not saying any benefit the person will get by just looking after his gaze. One is committing zina, that's out of the question. But even looking after a gaze, what benefit the person will get? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, coming to the effect, the person is walking on the street, and a beautiful woman is coming past him. And for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he lowers his gaze. He says, Allah is watching me. Why must I look at that woman? She's not halal to me. Who is halal to me? My beautiful wife. I must not look at that woman. When he lowers his gaze, he will find there is halawat al-Iman fi qalbi. The enjoyment and the sweetness of Iman Allah put in his heart. Now he will get enjoyment in performing salah. Now he will get enjoyment in making the law of the Quran. Now he will get enjoyment in all actions of worship. Now he will get enjoyment when he will look at his wife. Otherwise, today a person is doing salah, he's just reading it because it's a duty. There's no enjoyment in there. There's no enjoyment in dhikr. Why? Because of our eyes. We are losing the halawat and sweet taste of Iman through our eyes. So one great benefit of a person, he makes us fear, purify his eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the halawat of Iman, the sweetness of Iman. Another great benefit our Mashayikh and our Sheikh mentioned, a person will look after his gaze. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the enjoyment of his life in this world. Allah will make his life, his married life, very, very enjoyable. But person going to a very, very great Sheikh, Hakeem al-Ummah, Mawlana Ashraf al-Islami, rahmatullahi alayh. And Sheikh Hazrat said, he wrote to his spiritual guide, that after having a thing in your company, and you encourage us, we must have a life of taqwa, of piety, we must abstain from sin, we mustn't look at other women, and we mustn't do evils. So I find now that my desire and my love for my wife is increasing. I thought now I will be joining you, I'll be more ibadah, more salat I'll be performing, more zikr I'll be doing, more tilawat of Quran, and I'm worried now. My love for my wife is increasing. I thought now I'm supposed to be more in the masjid. So he wrote that, if this is exactly what is the benefit of taqwa and piety, you will stay away from sin, Allah will give you love of your wife. And when you love your wife more, this will be written down in the record of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not a sin, it's actually a very, very great ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what great benefit a person will get when you look after his gaze. Our Shaykh gives us a very, very beautiful example of this. He says that many people, when they go to work, so some people are poor, they don't have any food, really much. Or if the wife is very poor, she might give him one small slice of bread, a little bit of dal inside there, a little bit of some vegetables, something very, very simple. So now he goes to work. When he goes to work, he sees his friends. They come with lovely biryani, akni, maybe some lovely soup from Cape Town, or some other food, something nice. So now they are sitting down in front, he's seeing them eating nice, nice food, and he's got his dry bread. And he's feeling, hey, you know what, I can't pay for this dry bread. So he goes to his friend, he says, what's the time? He said, last year, you got a very nice food there. Can I join you? And then he sits down, he sits with his friend. Now he eats the biryani, he eats the akhni, he eats the fish. Now he tries to get worried about. Now he comes back home at 4 o'clock. He asks me, why, what should you want? He said, I got the dry bread and the dal, I got the vegetables. Now he starts shouting and fighting with him. Why? He's eaten to his full. He's nice and full now. He's ate all the biryani, the akhni, all the nice things. Now he's not going to eat the dry bread. But if that person was an honorable person, and he looked after his stomach, he didn't go for other people. Now when he will come home, whatever food the wife will put in front of him, it will be like bread from Jannah, from paradise, how he enjoys. So he says, our Sheikh says, that in a similar manner, just like how every man has got desire for food, similarly every man Allah has created desire for woman. But if a person is going out now, he's going in the street, his wife is a simple woman, and he's going on the street and he's looking at all the dollies, all the biryani and companies walking around. How are you dressing yourself up? Now when he sees all of them, he's looking at them and talking with them and flirting with them, so now he's filling himself up. Now when he comes home at the end of the day and he sees his dry bread, right? He's simple, right? He's never going to be happy with that. He's in a fight with that. He has problems with that. But if you look after his gaze, he did not go out and go wrong with his eyes. He controlled himself. He was an honorable person. Now he will come back 5 o'clock and he will look at his wife and she'll be the food of Jannah for him. The enjoyment he will get. Just look at one aspect of the person who is after his gaze. What enjoyment Allah will give him in this world? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person that verified himself, Allah will give him success in this world. One of the great benefits the Mashayikh have mentioned, they say when a person has a low in his gaze, he will get one of the halawat of Iman, the two gates of Iman. And in Cape Town, the women are walking around throughout the world, walking around half naked. The more a person will look after his gaze, the more the certificate of Iman will be written for him. Halawat of Iman. Each time he's governing his gaze, it's a very great difficulty on his nafs, on himself. Allah is writing on the certificate of Iman for him. So what is right with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then, the ulama mentioned, that whenever a person looks after his gaze, at that time, when any sin is, he wants to do some sin, that he controls himself, whatever dua he makes at that time, it is their experience that the dua is readily accepted. So at that time now you are walking, you want to look at a good woman, what benefit you will get? Lower your gaze. Ya Allah, give me one poor of Jannah. Somebody who is million times better than her. Give me enjoyment in my family, my married life. Make my wife even more beautiful in my eyes. Take this dua, Ya Allah, give me Jannah. Give me your closeness. And the ulama say, what other great benefit is when a person lowers his gaze for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him every gaze lowered. Al-Jazawul Ihsani is an Ihsan. You will be able to protect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, which is the greatest wrong in Jannah. Imagine every gaze you lower. And in the past years, people did not have the opportunity like us. We today, 100 times, you can lower your gaze. And each time, Allah will give you, in place of that, you will be able to protect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah was a very, very great scholar, Shafi scholar. He says that when a person who looks, is a very, very foolish person, he's a very stupid person. Because when he looks, either the woman will be very, very beautiful. And he will say, I wish I had this woman. And he says, if he looks and she's an ugly woman, he'll say, what an ugly woman, why did I ever look at her? So he says, both ways, you're only going to get sadness, hasrat and sadness, there's no benefit at all. Why are you looking? And the person lowers his gaze, he has been purified his gaze, what he wants to have in the love of him. So this is one aspect of Islam, which everyone is must be correct in our lives. Now we can see, we can understand the importance, what we need to rectify ourselves. This is the sickness which is throughout the whole world. Another sickness which is found in the heart of every single person is that of anger. Every person has anger to a certain degree, less greater than anger in him. And just like how lust is a very, very good quality. It's a very good quality. If a person didn't have lust, how will he fulfill the rights of his wife? How will he get children in this world? Allah has created this quality. But this quality has to be learned how to be controlled. This is what it's called. Islam to learn to control his quality. Anger also is a very, very good quality in a person. It's a very good quality. Because if a person doesn't get angry, somebody comes now and they interfere with your wife, they question your wife. You say, no, nothing gets angry at Muslim, you make a good people. What kind of person is that? You've got no shame in you. A person now, if they get angry, how can you touch my wife? Somebody speaking against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, automatically if you get angry, how can you still against my belief? Get upset with that person. Somebody wants to attack your house, they want to kill your family, they want to steal your money. Allah has created this anger over the person. It's a very, very good quality. But if we do not learn how to control this anger, this is another thing we have to learn to control. This is why it's called Islam, to reform ourselves. That same anger will cause a person to blurt out the word of talaq, tell his wife, I divorced 3 times. And then his wife is destroyed, his whole married life is destroyed. Now his wife has to separate from him. Now she has to go look, they're separate. His children are swearing him, they've got no time for him. And now he goes to Muftisa, he goes to the Maulana. Maulana, you have to organize something for me, I'll pay you. It's called a grand mufti. You give him 1 grand, he'll give you a fatwa. So, you say, please, that's now, okay, I need a fatwa. I gave him a fatwa, but I think only needs one. I'm a Christian, but 3 is 1 and 1 is 3. You know, it's going to be 3. So, I want to say, that I gave 3 talaqs, but 3 means 1. Muftisa says, no, you know what, I can't help you. This is a matter is finished. You gave your wife 3 talaqs. He said, but I was angry. Muftisa says, which person will be happy when his wife says, I love you, I'll give you 3 talaqs. You have to get angry to give talaqs. That's why you gave the talaq. Then he comes up and says, you know these muftis, they break all our marriages. We try to join our marriages, they break all our marriages. Before muftis are in trouble. This is because of our tongue. And because anger within ourselves, we can't control our anger. So a person has to learn how to control his anger, verify himself. And this anger also is a good deception. our Masayikh, our Shuyukh mentioned, that this anger only comes out of people who are smaller than us. When it's somebody bigger than us, then you know that that person doesn't become angry. He sees now somebody standing in front of him. He sees now you're standing with your wife in the room. And you tell her, today I'm going to make mincemeat out of you. I'm going to finish you up. You've overdone it now. It's sick and tired of you. How many times am I tell you? Now, she says, please have mercy. She says, no mercy on you. Then suddenly we are knocked on the door. She looks through the people. And who you see there? The wife's too bloody. They've just come back from the army. And they're standing there with the guns and all the weapons. And they big muscles they've got also. Then you tell your wife, hey, you know what? Let's forget everything. Don't, our fight has come to an end now. Just before, he said, I can't stop myself. I'm so much of anger I've got within myself. I'm going to make mincemeat of you. Now, next minute, please, make me mark. Forgive me. Overlook my fault. We won't discuss anything again like this here. So where that anger has gone now? Anger is such a deception. So this anger is within a person. A person has to learn how to control this anger. The same anger, many people say, they beat their wives up. They can't control themselves. This is a weakness within themselves. It's not the fault of the woman. They say, my woman's got a wife, she's got a very big mouth. So I can't control myself. No, this shows you are not a man. And he said, Allah wants to say, a strong person is not a person who can take somebody and push him down on the floor. He takes his wife on the floor and he pushes her down. He wrestles her and beats her. إِنَّمَا الشَّهِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ. A strong person is he who can control himself at the time of anger. So, this is another thing of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says three great benefits a person will get. This is falah, success. In this world and the year after, you can control your anger. The first great benefit a person will get, مَنْ فَقْفَ غَضَبَهُ سَتَرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ قُيُوبَهُ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَّمَ السَّلَامُ. That the person who controls his anger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hang the faults of that person. Everyone of us has got faults because weaknesses. In this world, Allah will conceal our faults. In the day of Qiyamah, Allah will conceal our faults. The second great benefit, whenever a person becomes angry, think about this. The second great benefit is, مَنْ كَفَّ غَضَبَهُ, the person who controls his anger, مَلَأُ اللَّهُ قَلْبَهُ أَمْنًا وَإِيمَانًا. Allah will fill up a person's heart with safety and peace, and Allah will fill up his heart with iman. You want more iman? Allah will fill up your heart with iman. You control your anger. When you get angry, and mostly people get angry with their wives. At home they get angry. A person gets angry with his children. And the way he beats his children, when the ulama say you can't hit your child how you want to. It's not permissible to hit somebody on the face, you slap somebody on the face. It's not permissible to hit an animal on the face, the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is the most honorable place. A person may sit down on the face, you are slapping somebody on the face, you are slapping somebody on the head. This is not correct at all. This is something we have to correct within ourselves. If you become angry, the ulama says you must walk out of the room. Go and drink water. Read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim. Sit down on the floor. Bring yourself under control. Now when you are under control, now think, what punishment is that here? My son did wrong. I must punish him. What is the punishment? What is the correct punishment? But to hit in a state of anger is a major sin. It's a completely wrong. And at that time, what does a person do? That sometimes he does such things. Our Shaykh mentioned one story. It shows two sicknesses within a person. One is love of the soul and one is anger. There was one person in a neighboring country. He went out. He went and bought a brand new car, motor vehicle. And he brings his motor vehicle home. He parks it on the driveway. And when he parks it on the driveway, he goes in the house to tell his wife and children, I've got a new car. A small four-year-old child is playing outside. He sees the father brought a new car. He's got a rusted nail in his hand. And he goes outside and he takes the rusted nail and he makes a nice mark around the car. When the father comes out, the father is shocked and he sees the son with a rusted nail in his hand. The car, the love of the car wasn't on the pavement. The car was actually in his heart. The love of the car was in his heart. He gets so upset, he takes the rusted nail. And he goes and he sprays it into the child's hand. And then he becomes infected. Immediately they have to rush the child to the hospital. When they go to the hospital, they are forced to take a to remove the arm. Now the father goes to visit the child. The child says, oh my father, anger. See that anger, the state of anger, what a thing he did. The whole child's head has been amputated. Child says, oh my father, please, I'll stretch your car, please give me my hand back. The father now must have bought 5 other cars, 10 other cars are there. Because he did not control his anger, the love of his world was in his heart. He destroyed his arm, sir. His son's arm. For the rest of his life, his son was supporting. For the rest of his life, he was affected his son. Anger, of course, he did not control his anger. So how much of a certain success, what a failure he was. So in this way, there are many other, there's no time now, inshallah. There are many other aspects. For example, the love of money. The person has got so much of love of money. He hasn't got time for his family. So what success has he got in his life? Another man has got little bit of money. But every night he's sitting with his family, he's eating with them, he's laughing with them, he's joking with them. He's got time with them. Another person is saying, my son is in America, my son is in Europe. How often you see your son? I don't even see my children. I've got no love for my children, they've got no love for me. One day one father, he phoned his children, telling his children on the phone, that you know, now it's the month of Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, me and your mother are divorcing. After 40 years now, we still die with each other, he divorced me. His son says, what? How can you divorce after 40 years? He says, you know, we just grew up together to make you happy, and now we die, we're divorcing. So the son says, no, 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 just wait there. The son is in America. You don't do anything until I come there. I'm booking a ticket tonight, tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, I'll be there. You just wait, hold on. Before you just decide in France. Tell them, you know what? I don't want you, I'm going to just hold on. I'm booking a ticket tomorrow afternoon, I'll be there. So then the father is telling the mother, Alhamdulillah, this is the first time after 20 years or children will be coming for Eid, they'll be paying for their own tickets. Because these people have no percent, lack of money, lack of money, I'm only running up to this thing. Every time for the whole year, so much success is getting there. The person is always worried about money. He says, me, I don't get sleep also. I don't even eat properly. What was the benefit? What was the object of the money? The money was to sit with your family, to spend with your family members, to spend time, quality time with them. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Banina Shuhuda, you got children who are in front of you. This is the great ni'mat and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person hasn't purified himself from the love of money, love of this dunya, what enjoyment is he going to have? One person is passing away, and on his deathbed, and he's saying, his children are standing around him. He says, Ahmed, he says, Abba, I'm standing here, my father, I'm standing here. He says, Zubair, he says, I am here for you. He says, Bakr, he says, I'm standing here. Zaid, I'm standing here. He says, the who's in the shop? At the time of his death also now, he's worried the fikr. This is the love of dunya which comes in the person. Who's in the shop now at that moment? So this love of this world has to come out. We have to have, to have money in this world is no problem at all. But we have love of money. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيَةٍ. The love of this world is the root of every sin, where a person will actually kill his own wife to get the life insurance which he had taken out on her just because of this dunya. A husband will get his wife raped and killed in the month of Ramadan just so that he can get a life insurance policy from her. This is the love of this world. When a person has got this love, it finishes the person, it destroys the person. So this is what a person has to make islah, is to reform himself, better himself. I have to have money, but I mustn't have the love of this money. Once I've got love of money, it will destroy me. A person has to have humility within himself. If a person has got pride, مَنْ تَكَبَّرَ وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ. A person who's got pride and arrogance, Allah will lower that person. مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهُ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ. But a person has got tawadu and humility, Allah will raise that person. Ulama say, that as long as there's no humility within people, there will never be unity amongst. No humility, there will never be unity. You can try whatever, you can have so many meetings and whatever, but as long as people are not prepared to humble themselves, there will never be unity amongst people. And the minute people humble themselves, then Allah Ta'ala will create unity amongst the hearts. So this quality of humility has to come within a person. Every person today, if somebody doesn't invite me for one function, I get very, very angry. They don't know who I am. I'm a great person and they never invited me. And the person becomes upset. So he's never ever happy now. He's always waiting. When are people praise me? When will people honor me? When will people give me my status which I desire? And a person who lives a humble life, he's a humble person, and he feels I have nobody in life, then somebody honors him, he's always happy. He, this person honored me, I'm not worthy of it, but they honored me. But if you feel I'm a very high person, and then automatically people won't have liking for you, they'll always look down upon you, you'll never live a happy life. So in all of these matters, Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. A person who purifies himself from jealousy. Today, unfortunately, jealousy is very, very common. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Iyaka wal hasad, beware of jealousy. Because jealousy will eat up your good actions. Like how fire would eat up wood, completely destroys it. The first sin which took place in the heavens was when Iblis, Shaitan, he was jealous of Adam alayhi salam. He said, I refuse to worship Allah, to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam. I will not obey the command of Allah because of jealousy. And the first sin which took place on the surface of the earth was jealousy. When Qabil, he killed his brother Habil because he was jealous. My brother got a more prettier wife than me. I'm not prepared to accept this. Person has got jealousy. Somebody else is earning more money than him. Somebody got a smarter house than him. Somebody is doing better than him. Then this person feeling in his heart, jealousy destroys the person. So all of these sicknesses a person has to make effort for, this is what is called Islam. So Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَى. Definitely successful is a person who has purified himself. Kawthar and Abu Bakr, to please remove the car. People are waiting to leave.
كوثر من أبو بكر كيف؟
في سؤال الله سبحانه وتعالى says قد أفلح من تزكى. Successful is a person who has purified himself. How will a person purify himself? There are two things your person needs. Whenever you want to clean your house, you need somebody to clean your house, and you need some detergent. So the detergent is وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. Allah Ta'ala says you need the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very powerful. It will remove the filth and dirt of a person's heart. It will give the person ability to do good actions and to stay away from sin. And if a person now he prescribes his own zikr, he wants to purify himself, it's very, very difficult for a person. He himself doesn't know I'm sick. A person doesn't know it. Any of us is sick now, we go to the doctor. Please doctor, I've got the sickness. The doctor is experienced. He's got many, many patients, he has seen hundreds of patients. So this person, he knows now exactly you've got the sickness, this is the cure for it. Many times, once I went to the Hakim, and I read one article, they say for a certain sickness, my family, my wife was suffering from a certain sickness. So they say lemon is very, very good for it. So I told him that we have read about lemons, they are very, very good. So can we use lemon also? So he told me that no, you see lemons for India is very, very good because that's a hot country. But in South Africa the same sickness is caused because of something else. And lemons are cold for the body. So if you take lemon in South Africa, it's very, very harmful for you. So many times a person feels he reads one book, this is a very, very good ilaj, a very, very good cure. I got pride in me, I read it in this book here. But by reading it in a book, this was for somebody else, not for you, it's not beneficial for you. So a person has to go to a doctor, a spiritual doctor, somebody who is experienced in the field. A person what we call mashayikh, sheikh. And this is not from our time, it's from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can't go to any person, any quack, still you get many, many quacks. And many, many people who are doing all funny, funny things. On the street you go, every person, Dr. Mama, and Mr. Funny, funny names, Mr. I don't know what names they got. And they say we cure everything. You can win the lotto by us. You can bring your lost lover back. That person's own life, his wife left him, but he didn't bring your lost lover back. And if he was so rich and so wealthy, he won't be charging you 50 rand and 100 rand. He himself should have won the lotto long time ago. But we so stupid people will go to him and we try to win the lotto from him, ask him to help us and he'll give us, yes, he is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, look for somebody who is genuine. And how do you know a genuine person? Somebody who follows the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He follows the laws of the Quran Sharif. In his life, you will look, you will see the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the pious people of your era, of your time, they say that this is a very, very pious man. You must go to him. You must get benefit from him. And if you look at the people who follow him normally, if you look at the people who follow him, you will find that many of them, they've got deen in their lives, they've got Islam in their lives, they are trying to better themselves. So if you see that quality in a person, then you know he is a right sheikh, he is the right person to follow, to correct yourself. And he speaks about these sicknesses, he speaks about weaknesses within ourselves, and he gives the cure for it. So a person must go to such a person, inshallah, he will get benefit. And he will teach you how to make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to benefit. Allah ta'ala says when you purify yourself, فَصَلَّى, then you must perform salah. Salah is direct connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah is not a burden. Salah is the greatest enjoyment in this world. So now a person will get the true enjoyment in this world. When the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Bilal radiallahu anhu, oh Bilal, arihna bis salah. Let us get comfort by our salah. There is great enjoyment in salah. This is the greatest gift which Allah has given a person. But when will a person benefit fully? When he has purified his heart, and Allah has come in that person's heart, and all the filth and dirt has come out of his heart, he is making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that there is one thing which is stopping a person, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. You are giving preference to this worldly life. Because of the enjoyments of this worldly life, you say, no, I don't want to make my Islam. I don't want to correct myself. I don't want to make myself a better person. I'm frightened. If I change my life, if I become a better Muslim person, then my life will become very straightened. This is the deception of shaitan. Allah says, you will be successful in this world, in the grave on the day of Qiyamah, if you will better yourself, if you will make tawbah, you will change your life, and you will become, you will purify yourself. Allah says, I give you success. So don't let this worldly life deceive you. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. Remember, the life of the year after is far, far better. It will remain forever and forever. That must be your object of life. And this is not anything new now. Allah says, إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَى صُحُفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى. This was written in the past books also. In the books of Musa alayhi salam, of Ibrahim alayhi salam, we have mentioned the same subject matter. We are mentioning the subject matter to you now. So you must, every one of you must have this concern and figure. And this is why we are having this Islam, inshallah, all the programs will center around this topic here. That how can we better ourselves? How can we become better Muslims? What is the way of us reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Getting a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being successful in this world, in the life of the year after. May Allah ta'ala grant firstly myself, all of us tawfiq and ability to benefit from all the programs which will take place. Great shuyukh and mashayikh here in our company here. Inshallah, Allah give us tawfiq. time is set for all the programs, inshallah. Inshallah, next we will be having Hazrat Mulana Hussein Runat Saab, who is a senior alim also in Azhar. He's teaching many, many years in a madrasa, in Darul Ulum, teaching kitabs of hadith for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, he also is the senior khalifa, vice-chairman of our Sheikh, Sheikh Mulana Abdul Hamid Saab, who has given him permission to continue his great work. So inshallah, we will call Hazrat Mulana to advise us.